Hey, this is Alan C. Gardner from Bad Bad Men, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is time for our annual Best of the Year episode. This is episode 260. I'm Kevin.
I'm John McClain.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Doug.
I'm Owen.
Someone called the intern.
Yes, someone called the intern. No, you are the intern. We only have one. So we're back, guys, and I brought a game with us. So everybody knows we're going to play a little trivia game, and then the person with the most points gets to read the most honorable mentions, so I don't have to listen to somebody's list of 25 of them. So we're going to kick it off this week. We're going to start early because there's six of us, so we're not going to go through our usual preamble. Bob, you're up. Let's go.
Okay. So we're going from number 10, right? Okay. The prom
We're doing the trivia game.
No, we're doing the number 10, then the trivia game.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Okay. So number 10, the prom. Go ahead.
No, I'm excited.
Okay. Shadow in the Cloud. And I know reviewers have hated it, but I liked it. I thought it was...
Hold on. No. Just do number 10, Bob.
Yeah, we're just doing number
10. Why did you like the prom? Two sentences.
The cast was good. I thought it was well done. The lead actress, the young girl, was a good singer.
I thought it had a great ending song. I thought that song when they all come together at the high school was really good.
Yeah. It's only James Gordon that sort of brought it down.
Keegan
Michael Key as well.
Okay, what category would you like? Action, classics, general, horror, science fiction, or comedy?
Comedy.
And if you fail to answer it, it's a free-for-all for everybody else. Okay, at the end of Deadpool, what is Ryan Reynolds' character wearing when he speaks to the audience?
Oh, jeez. I have no idea.
Anybody? Buzz in?
Kevin?
He's wearing a bathrobe. He's dressed up like Ferris Bueller.
Good enough. Kevin wins. 1 point, Kevin.
Did we just put our hand up?
I thought we just yelled.
Yeah.
You can yell.
Okay.
Whatever. Kevin put his hand up first. Nobody else had it up.
Fair.
Owen?
Okay. So my number 10 is Arch Enemy. Because, well, the movie wasn't like traditionally like my favorite thing. It had, first of all, I liked the actors. I enjoyed their other work, so that kind of made it more enjoyable watching this movie. And the storyline, while a little bit muddled in the beginning, I think it had a good ending.
Okay, back this up. First off, who is in Arch Enemies, and why did Doug never put this on the list?
Well, it's pretty much brand new. It hasn't been my choices since it came out, so that's why it wasn't on the list.
Did Joe Manganiello, or something from True Blood, right?
Yeah, Joe, I can't pronounce his name. Yeah. Written and directed by Adam Egypt Mortimer, the guy who did Daniel Isn't Real.
Oh, okay, yeah, that just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stars Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as the bad guy, and a cameo by actor-comedian Paul Scheer that we like in the house.
I wonder why. So. Listen to this podcast. And the league. Okay. Category, Owen?
I'll also go comedy.
Yeah, you get the other comedy question then. Which comedy released in 2018 was based on the best-selling book by Kevin Kwan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Daniel?
Crazy Rich Asians?
Correct.
Yes. I had no idea that was based off a book.
Okay, next up, Kevin.
So my number 10 pick is Emma, directed by Autumn de Wilde, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Johnny Flynn, Mia Goth. I always enjoy it when someone's able to take a classic piece of literature and make it relevant to modern audiences. And while this is still set in the 19th century, it has a very 10 Things I Hate About You kind of feel to it. And Anna Taylor-Joy is a joy to watch. So
Hey.
Yep.
What's your category, Kevin?
Science fiction.
Which pop star played the main man, played the man in Who Fell to Earth?
David Bowie.
Correct. Okay, Daniel, you're up.
My number 10 pick is The Dark and the Wicked. I don't think we did it on the show. It's a horror by Brian Bertino, director of The Strangers. You reminded me why I love horror and or just love suspense and like how he built, how he does his sequences, like just building tension is awesome. Just in the middle of the night, there's a scene where that made me so spooked. I went for I turned on more lights in my house. It's a good horror movie, very suspenseful.
Okay, what's your category?
Horror.
Horror it is. In the movie Fight Club, what is the first rule of Fight Club?
You don't talk about Fight Club.
That is correct.
Am I not supposed? Was I not supposed to say anything? I didn't know that was a trick question.
No, John, you're up.
Yeah, that, I was going to say that's not horror.
Well, just like The Martian is a comedy, I guess Fight Club could be a horror. My number 10 is a documentary called Nomad in the Footsteps of Bruce Chatwin, directed by Werner Herzog.
Oh, that's why I haven't seen it. Right there alone does my best.
Herzog gets a bad rep as being, you know, all about doom and gloom. This documentary is about a travel writer, Bruce Chatwin, who Herzog met in his later life when he adapted one of Chatwin's books. And it's about what they bonded over, the travels. Both men had traveled around the world and seen many different things. So this documentary pretty much shows their parallel journey as artists. And I thought it was wonderful.
That's very nice. Did you watch it with Owen?
No.
So Owen wasn't allowed to watch it. I see how this works in this household.
Yes. Although most of our list is the same. About half.
I'll have a nap during that portion then of the show. Topic, category.
I'll go horror too.
Oh, you got an easy, really easy one. Name the serial killer in the Friday the 13th movie series.
Now, the series, okay, so that's Jason Voorhees, not the mom who was the killer in the first one.
That is correct. Okay, my number 10 pick, which I mean, on the show, people listen, I did enjoy this film. I know you guys always make fun of me. It's Trial of the Chicago 7. Aaron Sorkin's writing, I just love. I just absolutely enjoy this man's writing. I can listen right about Kleenex tissue box making, and I'm sure I would enjoy it. You guys all know everybody's, and if you don't, look it up on IMDb. My number 10 is Trial of Chicago 7.
Yeah, that made me like top 20, so.
And I'm going to pick general trivia is my thing. And this is for everybody to guess. The roar of the T-Rex in the original Jurassic Park was produced by layering the sounds of which three animals? Anybody?
Chicken, okay. Crocodile. And,
okay, well, I'll give you the answer since nobody got that. Tiger, alligator, and baby elephant.
Ah, okay.
Now we're back to the intern.
Number 9, Shadow in the Cloud. I know it's been trashed by the reviewers, but I still enjoyed it. I saw it at TIFF, and I thought it was well done. I thought, great. Chloe did a great job as the actress, but I know you're going to say it was on green screen, but I didn't care. Like I watched it and I really enjoyed it.
You're allowed to enjoy a film. As long as you enjoy it, I think that's all that matters for everybody.
Yeah.
Here,
I liked it.
And I know it was a period piece, so I know Simon wouldn't have liked it, but we had someone on here that would have liked it.
Wow, I loved Emma. Okay, let's not bitch me about period pieces.
Well, should we bring back someone that is into period pieces and you can discuss that with her?
I think she's shopping online.
For panties?
I didn't say anything. Your topic, please, sir.
Oh, gosh. Science fiction.
Got to find that. Here we go. What is the name of the spaceship in Alien?
The Nostromo?
That is correct. Owen, you're up.
All right. My number 9 is The Hunt. It's an Amazon original movie, right? Yeah.
No, it's Blumhouse.
No.
All right, well, it was on Amazon Prime before I watched it. And so, and it is about these, like, young British boys going on this trek to...
No, that's not The Hunt.
That's not The Hunt?
No, that's Get Juked.
Right. Wait,
the Hunt is the...
I'm a robber's
Hoggins point. Versus...
Right, Liz. Yes, okay. I had the other one up higher. So this one is about these high-class liberal elites that hunt some conservatives. It's all satire. It was not received well, but I thought that it did. It had a good balance of, because it did comment on a few things. I mean, it kind of had to with the subject matter, but at the same time, I think it was definitely a movie that anyone could enjoy if they accept it as what it was, which was a satire. And I think it had a good balance of that.
So are you stating that I should enjoy this film because it's a satire and I hate everything else?
I mean, it's up to you whether you enjoy a film or not.
Well, that's do I enjoy a film?
Some. You enjoy some films.
There you go. Yeah. Your category, please.
Let's go horror.
Oh, so you guys can swear. Well, I only have so many cards. A movie, When a Stranger Calls, is based on which urban legend?
Oh, God. I know it, but if I try and guess, we're going to be forever, so I pass.
I'll try. The calls coming from inside the house, that urban legend?
You're close. The babysitter and the stranger upstairs.
Ah.
Okay. Can't give you that one. Sorry, Doug. Kevin, you're up.
All right, my number nine choice is Once We're Brothers, Robbie Robertson and the Band, a documentary that was released.
Oh, look at you sneaking one in there that we didn't do. When did you watch that?
Oh, I remember that.
It came out in March, February or March.
Oh, it's come out that earlier?
Yeah, it's been out almost all year.
That's the 5th in 2019.
No, that's what I'm thinking.
So, I thought it was fantastic. The story of the band is very interesting because they were... You know, it's actually more the story of Robbie Robertson and how he came into the music business and developed his friendships with Ronnie Hawkins and then eventually Bob Dylan, formed the backup band for Bob Dylan's band for his act. And just to look at the music climate in the late 60s, early 70s, how things fell apart as they grew more and more famous, drug addictions, fighting. And then just sort of where things ended up going for all the different members. So very well done. Great
and
interviews.
Martin Scorsese directing does not dig away from that.
No, it was directed by Daniel
Rover.
Something
to do with it. Are you produced it?
Scorsese was a producer on it. And he and Robbie Robertson are good friends. He had directed them in The Last Waltz, which was their final
science fiction again, Kevin?
75. Let's go with action.
First action question. Which 2017 film stars Charlize Theron as an MI6 agent Lorraine Bryden? That is correct.
Atomic Blonde.
Well, I guess I get to listen to lots of Kevin's stuff. Daniel, you're up.
Hey. No, Owen, just for the record, I love Get Duked as well.
It's on my list, so yeah.
It's on my list to watch. It really is.
Yeah, I recommend it to you, Simon, after I watched it, actually, as well. My number nine is Run, Hulu original by Anish.
Wow, weird. Another one on my list.
Anish Chaganty, I think his name is. I love Searching. I think with this one, he just proves that he makes great thrillers. The structure is tight. I mean, it's a bit predictable, arguably, but I love the structure. I love the pacing of it. I very good suspense. I don't think I wouldn't really consider it horror, but it's a good watch.
Topic, please. Category.
Let's go action.
What is the Indiana Jones real first name?
God damn it.
Going once.
Robert? I have no idea.
Kevin?
Henry Jones Jr.
That is correct.
I only watched him for the first time this year.
Get off the show. Now.
No.
Goodbye. Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Doug, you're up.
All right. My number nine is a movie we did on the show. It is Blow the Man Down. It was an Amazon original, beautifully written thriller with three stories that combined in the end just wonderfully. It had the Greek chorus of fishermen. It was wonderful. I love this movie.
I absolutely agree with you, Doug, everything you said. This is everything Owen's going to be inspired to be a director, making films I like. Your category?
I will go, let's go action. Why not?
Action it is. Michelle Pfeiffer played Catwoman in which Batman film?
Batman Returns.
That is correct. Okay, number 10 is a film Kevin really hated, but I loved. My number 9 story, Tenet. I just love Nolan. I love the look of the film. I understand I don't have to worry about the actor's set, but I didn't care. I think on the show, I'm probably the only one that enjoyed this film more than anybody else.
I love
the look. Okay, maybe not. I love the look of Nolan's film.
You only have it at number 9.
That's what I have it on.
What did you do to your cat, Bob?
Ran her over with the chair.
Poor kitty.
Oops.
So I just think no one gets everything and everything I ever want as a filmmaker. They're big, they're loud, they're huge, they're beautiful to look at. Yeah, some of the concepts don't work, but I like it. I like the time travel. I love things with time travel. I love everything no one does. But can I say I'm a Nolan head? I'm going to love everything he does for the rest of my life, other than Interstellar and something else. I didn't really enjoy it.
And you're going to like my placement at Tenet for me.
So that's it. That was my number 9. And I will pick classics. Which movie was initially titled 3000 because it later changed because of the movie soundtrack? Anybody? I didn't even know this. Okay, you ready for this answer? Pretty Woman.
What? Wow. Oh, right. I read that. Oh, because that's the sum of money, right?
Yeah.
Wow, I was thinking classics like, 40s,
30s. So was I, but I didn't make this game.
Late 80s.
Doug gets DVDs, Daniel gets DVDs, Kevin gets a bag of coal, I get movie trivia games.
Oh, your kids got you this, or your wife did?
My wife did, because she knows I love movie trivia games for the show, so she got me a new game to play.
Thanks.
Oh, intern.
Wait, before you go on, have you ever been to the Calendar Club in the malls?
Yes.
They carry the trivia games too. I've seen it.
I know. I've read them all. I think that's where she found this one, but thank you for telling me though.
No problem, because I bought one for somebody for Christmas.
I hope it's me.
No, it's not.
That's not very nice.
Are we at number 8?
Number eight.
Okay, Over the Moon. I really loved the animation in this. The songs were great. The direction was good, and the story was really good. I know it's probably made for kids, but I really enjoyed it.
I disagree with you. Love this film. Absolutely, not made my list. Probably number 11. Absolutely wonderful animation. Wonderful storytelling. Absolutely fantastic film.
I was going to say, eliminate the stigma that animated films are only made for kids.
Absolutely. Your category, sir?
That's what I've been told. So I didn't care because that's one of the genres I like.
Yeah, me too.
Bob, your question is, which you don't know the answer to, in which movie would you encounter the character Deckard?
I had no idea, so Kevin was going to answer that.
It's Blade Runner.
There Blade you Runner. Go. Okay. Back to you,
Owen. All right.
Blade Runner.
So my number 8 is Tenet, for the same reasons as Simon. It was a confusing movie. There's no getting around that. But the visuals were amazing. I think it looked stunning. The way they had some of the reverse time scenes in the movie, I think it was fascinating to look at. So when you're not quite sure what's going on, and you're not quite sure what's happening, you're like, well, at least it looks good. So, yeah. And I think, so that's why it's at number 8. So it's not complete that high on my list, but I still enjoyed it.
So just so everybody knows, Owen does have a Christmas special I think everybody should check out. And Owen, where do you find it?
Well, if you Google Hanner Family Christmas Special, and Hanner is spelled H-A-H-N-E-R, on YouTube, it should be one of the first things to pop up.
Perfect.
Wait, what's it called?
The Hanner Family Christmas Special.
Okay.
So I just want to know, did your dad eat all the cookies?
I did.
What category would you like, sir?
I go sci-fi.
Okay, sorry, got it. Because now they're flipped over. There's two questions on each card. In the Harry Potter film franchise, which you probably have seen, you look like about the right age for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Hogwarts motto Draco Dormus Nemquam Titi Adamus mean?
So, apparently I haven't seen it very well. Because I have no idea what that means.
Anybody out there want to take a stab at this?
Something about mischief? I have no idea.
Nope, never tickle a sleeping dragon.
Sound advice.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds...
I didn't know that either.
Don't eat the Hunter cookies would be my answer, but that's just personal. Kevin, you're back
up. Okay, my number eight choice is Blow the Man Down.
Two lists!
Yeah, directed by Bridget Savage Cole and Danielle Crudy. I love the world building here. I like the isolation, the sense of connectivity between the residents, and the secrets hidden and uncovered as the film progressed. I love the... It was just a very interesting film. And at the time, I wasn't sure I enjoyed it as much as the film has grown on me. So,
I agree. The film has grown on most of us. Your category, sir?
What are the categories that are open right now?
All of them. You can have anything you want. I have tons of questions.
All right. Action.
Action it is. Chris Pratt. You know Chris Pratt, right?
Yes, Kevin? I do.
Replies his role as Owen Grady for the 2018 release of which film?
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Correct. Kevin's destroying you guys. You guys are really good in the game here. Daniel.
Okay, mine is also animated. My number eight is the best Pixar film of 2020. No, it's the lesser one, Onward. I love Onward for the story of brothers. Okay, I know you're going to say that, but I love Onward. The animation, the brothers, I think it's a great adventure. If it came out from any other studio, it's hailed as great, but because it's Pixar, it's called average, and I think that's unfair. I think it's still really good. Mm.
I have to agree with you on that comment, Daniel, that I think Pixar, everybody holds up to Oscar standard of everything they do.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. If this came out from DreamWorks, we'd all be going, oh, wow, DreamWorks put out a good picture. But yeah, I 100% agree with your statement. I didn't love the film as much as you, but I do agree with that statement.
Yeah, fair enough.
Your category, sir?
Since I got the Indiana Jones wrong, just surprised me.
Nobody's picked comedy, so we're going to try comedy.
Okay.
In which city was the comic actor, filmmaker, composer Charlie Chaplin born?
I have two in mind. Chicago?
Nope. Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say that because I knew it.
Yeah. Okay, I know Bob would know.
Was it London?
Yeah, it's London.
It's an English actor.
I was thinking I knew Bob knew either Philadelphia or Chicago. I forgot he was British.
I knew Bob knew the answer, so that's fine, because I know his dad was a big Charlie Chaplin fan, so I knew he knew that. So I apologize. Who are we up to? That was
my turn.
Doug.
Oh, thanks.
All right. My number eight is something I know Simon hated, but I loved it. It's First Cow by Kelly Reichardt.
Okay.
It's basically the story of two men who meet during westward expansion. And it's kind of a movie about friendship, but also there's consequences to the actions that they do. And it was slower than I expected it to be, but it was so beautiful and meditative. I loved it. I thought it was great.
You know what's funny, Doug? This is what your son's going to torture me with when he becomes a big-time director. He's going to pull me up, say, you want to see my dad? I'll fly you in for one day. He's going to put me in First Cow. And then I'm going to be the happiest person because I'm in a film, even though I'm going to hate myself for it.
Doug, I really thought you were going to say Wolf of Snow Hollow.
You're a dead man. If anybody on this says Wolf of Snow Hall, I will cut you out.
That one might be on my honorable mentions.
So far, you got to win to get there. You're not. Yes. So far, you know who's giving the least note.
Did I get that point for Charlie Chaplin, by the way?
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
That was my mistake for giving the answer. Category?
I'll take action.
Action, everybody's favorite category. In which film would you hear the phrase, I feel the need for speed?
That is Top Gun.
That is correct. Okay, my number 8 is a film I friggin' love, and I haven't read any other love from any critic or anybody else I know. It's the Beastie Boys. I got a quick story. When I was like probably about Owen's age, and maybe a little younger than Owen, I played this album nonstop, License to Ill. I mean, every day, all day, any time of day I was home, this album was played. It's the first album my parents ever took away from me because my mother could not listen to this anymore. Seeing this documentary, is it the greatest thing on the planet? No. But it brought me back such wonderful memories of those times. Listen to my room, listen to the Beastie Boys. I will watch this documentary again, even though I don't really watch films, just because I love the feeling this gives me. So minus the Beastie Boys, I love Spike Jones. I love the Beastie Boys. I don't care if it's a great film. I love it. It's my number 8.
I liked it. It's really good.
And I'm going with general trivia again, just so everybody knows. In which film quote, when you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud too?
Shawshank Redemption. Anybody?
Incorrect.
Okay. The Englishman up a hill and came down a mountain. I have no
idea. Which is something I have not seen. The Equalizer.
Oh.
Number 7, Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. Right from the start, when I heard both the girls singing and Forest Whitaker, it just caught my attention. I literally looked up and go, what? And from there, I was just hooked on it. It was really well done. Songs were good. I was just like, Simon would know I'd be tapping my feet to it. Or as he says, I'd be getting up in the middle of the theater and go, dot, 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 dot.
I would get up and sing Impossible. I watched this film twice. I watched it once by myself and once with my children. Impossible is getting an Oscar nod, or I'm going to be shocked if it doesn't have a shot for Best Oscar. I think it's the best song of the year.
Yeah.
And Prom, I also think, has a good shot.
Yeah.
Your category, sir?
So I'm doing so well with it. Sci-fi.
I'm doing sci-fi. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them takes place in the same universe as what other movie franchise?
Harry Potter.
Didn't even have to see the first one, Bob, to know that one.
Yeah, I know. That wasn't even a guess. I knew it.
All right. My number 7 is Bill and Ted Face the Music. Because I love the original Bill and Ted movies. And this one it made me feel good. It was just a feel-good movie. And it wasn't, you know, technically perfect. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. When it made me feel good, especially in the year that was 2020. So it was a nice release from that.
Okay, nice. I didn't get the hype for that one, personally.
I saw the first one in theaters. I still remember seeing it with my first serious girlfriend in theaters. So anytime I see Bill and Ted, I have nice, fond memories. Your category, sir?
Let's go sci-fi.
Sci-fi. You sure about this?
No.
Okay. Which Game of Thrones actress played Jean Grey in 2016's X-Men Apocalypse?
I could tell you the answer.
You could tell me.
No.
So I'm going to remain with 0 points because.
Hang on. Daniel Dunsworth.
Sophie Turner. Oh, sorry. My bad. That's Doug. I knew it.
You can have
it. Giving it to Daniel?
Well, do half points. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, Doug's giving it to Daniel. That's fine. No, sorry, I'm not Doug. Doing half points. Get lost.
Okay. That's fine.
Kevin, Sorry, Dan, who's next? Yeah, Kevin.
Me. So my number seven is the only comedy on my list, and that's Palm Springs, directed by Max Barbaco, with Andy Samberg, Kristen Milioti, J.K. Simmons. Just so, like, I mean, taking the whole Groundhog Day premise and just running with it. And
I love this movie. Absolutely.
It's so clever, so meta.
I agree.
You know, just a hell of a film. It's one I think I'll be revisiting again very soon, but fantastic looking. And
I think it's a good drinking film. You can have a few drinks to it, talk to your friends and not miss much, and just have fun still watching it.
That's the one I won the gingerbread house from. It was Amazon and Palm Springs. I remember that now.
Wait, was it a Palm Springs like themed gingerbread house?
Yeah, they were at. Well, they had on the box Palm Springs, and it was like I got a box from Amazon. I'm going, what the heck is this? I open it up. It says Palm Springs on the box. I open the box, and it's like a gingerbread house. I'm going, nope. I finally got rid of it. I gave it to a next door neighbor. His kids are going to love it.
Great, good to hear.
Yeah.
So what's a category we haven't picked?
I tried my nieces. I tried.
I would have taken it.
General trivia, comedy. We've only read one question from whichever one you want.
No, a category no one has picked. Is there like romance, chick flicks, anything stupid like that? No. All right, sci-fi.
Number one category picked. Oh, come on, really? What is the name of the starship in Star Trek?
The USS Enterprise.
That's right.
Oh, darn. I thought it was Voyager.
Daniel?
I would have said SS Enterprise, to be honest. I would have forgot one letter. my number seven is One Night in Miami. Stage play, movies based on stage plays are usually hit or miss for me. This one definitely hit. Never really seen a movie with so much dialogue that has so much energy, especially from the performance with Eli Gorey as Muhammad Ali. Thought the conversations were fascinating, and I thought Regina King directed it very well.
We'll get to that on a future episode.
Okay.
Your category, please.
Comedy?
Comedy, sorry. But I have them flipped over because half of them were. Which top U.S. rock band bassist provides the voice of mind worker cop Jake in Inside Out?
That was a question?
Which top U.S. rock band bassist provides the voice of mind worker cop Jake in Inside Out?
I don't know music enough to know this. So I'll just say Steven Tyler. Douglas? Not a bassist.
I'll try, is it Tom Morello?
It is not, but you're on the right track.
Kevin? I think is it Flea?
You are correct.
Oh, okay. I don't know music enough for that one.
No problem. Douglas.
All right, my number seven is Nomadland, directed by Chloe Zhao, starring the amazing Frances McDormand. This movie she carried it on her shoulder, much like she did with Three Billboards. She's like, this is a script I want to do. This is an amazing character. And she just gave an utterly fantastic performance. And I have to admit that I'm now actually excited to see The Eternals because Chloe Zhao's directing that.
Is she really?
I had no interest in it before, but now I've seen Nomadland and I'm excited.
Nice. I've also seen The Rider, Doug, and I think you suggest you see The Rider.
It's on my list.
Which is Traverso, which I've also seen, which I didn't enjoy, but I think you would get more out of it than I did.
Okay.
Fair enough. Your category, sir?
I will pick, let's go comedy.
Comedy. Nobody takes comedy. Which sports featured in the movie Blades of Glory?
Ice dancing. Ice skating dancing.
Good enough. Figure skating.
Yeah,
I'll give it to you.
Ice dancing. That's good. I'm going to call it that.
That's
good enough.
My number seven is a film that Daniel had to help me find because I was looking for these Steve McQueen films I kept reading about and I couldn't find them. And Daniel said, Simon, you're an idiot. It's called Small Axe. I'm like, who labels films small acts? So I find small acts. I find these bunch of films I was looking for. So thank you, Daniel, for allowing me to do this. And so I did watch Lover's Rock, and I got to say, this has the best dance sequences I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely, when they start playing Kung Fu Fighting, and everybody breaks out into this Kung Fu moves, and it's beautifully choreographed, and it happens to every song. You know, it's the film's short, it's about an hour 10, maybe an hour 20, but the visuals are just beautiful. The shooting, phenomenal. I like that I didn't know who any of these people were, so I could immerse myself in the story. I didn't know who the heroes were in the story, the villains were. I like the culture. I knew these people by the end of the film. And I just had a really nice feeling when I came out. Steve McQueen continually impressed me as a director. And you guys really need to see this film just for the dance sequences in the middle. They're just phenomenal.
I thought you were going to skip those.
I didn't.
Okay.
What's it called?
Small Acts. It's a miniseries called Small Acts, but it's five films by Steve McQueen.
Okay. And I just love Lover's Rock. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
I will pick general trivia for fun. Which movie opens with the women do not have the calmness or temperament or the balance of mind to exercise judgment in political affairs? And I'll give you a hint. It's a movie we did on the show.
I'm thinking The Iron Lady.
You're close. Suffragette.
Ah. Okay. Haven't seen that one.
Intern.
Didn't we forget you?
No, he just did.
Oh, he just did that. Okay. Sorry. Daniel, you had One Night in Miami at number 7?
Yeah.
He did.
Guess what? I have it at number 6.
Hey.
For the exact same reason you did. I really enjoyed it. I really like it was may have been slow, but like each character had something to do, and the conversation was really good. And I'm going, I enjoyed this. I'm gonna have to see it again.
Yeah, I'll watch it again and for again. This show.
And again.
Categories, sir.
What are the categories again?
Horror, comedy, science fiction, general, action, classics. Which only one person's. Classics?
Yep.
In which film did Sidney Poitier say, "They call me Mr. Tibbs"?
To Sir with Love.
Wrong.
Oh,
so confident.
Oh, crap. Okay, I'll give the point to Kevin and go ahead. Both of you.
Jesse's coming to dinner.
I was wrong.
No. Oh, he's in the night. Okay. There you go.
I had that movie in my head all this time, and I'm going, no.
So confident,
both
Bob.
Both put our hands up at the same time, what? Too. Exactly the same time, Doug and Kevin.
So confident with the wrong answer, Bob. You're so quick.
Owen, you're up.
All right. Well, I kind of teased my number 6 a little earlier by accident. It's Get Duked, finally.
Okay.
Oh, we're finally getting there.
Yeah, finally.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Because, well, I guess I started to talk about it earlier. It kind of has a little bit of the same premise as The Hunt. It's these British school children being hunted by an English duke. And it has such a good message of teamwork and friendship that it just, the ending felt satisfying. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons I liked it. And also it just, you know, it was funny. It had some, it definitely had some funny moments with like this inner city London, like small teenage boy who's like rapping to a bunch of farmhands. Yeah. It made me laugh.
You know what made me laugh? A Haunter Family Christmas special that has a good ending too. And you can find that on YouTube by looking for the Haunter Christmas special.
Yes, you can.
The hip hop was great though.
The hip hop was so good. Well, your category, sir?
I don't know. General trivia.
Yeah, because you need something to help you. Actually, you know what? You're not going to get this one, but I'll give it to you anyway.
Well, then.
I wouldn't.
I'm just going to pass.
General trivia it is. On which Irish island was the final scene of Star Wars The Force Awakens filmed?
What?
I had no idea. I've never even heard of this place.
I'm just going to take a shot in the dark Galapagos, but that's Scottish, and that's the urban legend, isn't it?
Yeah, I can tell you the planet it's supposed to be, but
okay,
it's supposed to be Octo, but anyway.
Skellig Island.
There's actually, I was watching Jeopardy yesterday. There was a trivia question on about Last Jedi, but not about that one.
Do you have the question?
No, it was just No, actually, it was on the chase.
Oh, I know what it was.
Like, what country was it? Like, what country was there an island that it was filmed with the Last Jedi where Skywalker is milking things?
I thought the question was, what's the worst Star Wars movie ever?
Yeah.
Last Jedi.
Rise of Skywalker.
Phantom Menace actually is probably the worst movie.
Kevin, you're up for number six.
My number six was your number seven, Beastie Boys Story, directed by Spike Jonze.
Nice.
I love this. This is some, I picked two music documentaries in my top 10. This was just fun. It was like it's basically a recording of a stage show where Adam and Mike D talk about their, you know, basically their time in the band and the history and how they came together, who their friends were, the whole rise of the New York rap scene, going out to LA to record their second album. Just fun, you know. And well done.
Nice.
Yep. All right, give me another sci-fi.
In which movie did Alan Rickman make his final big screen appearance in a voice-only role before his death? Hmm. Really? Like, he's making it after his death? Like, why would they write that?
Right. I don't know. I don't remember.
Anybody? I didn't even know this film came out. Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Right, he was the caterpillar.
Yeah, the cat.
Oh, okay, well, you're thinking animated.
And wasn't he the caterpillar?
Yes, he is. It's the. I do remember now.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was his last film of screen appearance. Who's up next? Daniel?
It's me, number six, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Why is everybody going to Shutter?
Oh, it's not me.
Because it's you.
Okay, we'll wait for him.
Okay.
Is that that fat man in the background about of his?
I know that thing. Movie.
I think that's the movie.
Night Before Christmas or something. It's a Santa Claus horror film. I love it.
Oh, that's that. Was that that bad one we didn't like?
Bad
Doug.
I think the one we didn't like was like Danish.
Rare Exports. Yeah.
Nope, he's gone.
He's gone.
Maybe he'll come back like I did.
I know that film. I saw it at the Blood and the Snow Film Festival, though.
Fat Man? Or something
Not
else?
Not Fat Man. It's like he plays a Santa Claus and he goes around the little town killing people. You'll love it. It was good. I have to think of the name of it, though. Night Before Christmas, maybe?
Oh, Silent Night? With Malcolm McDowell? No.
It was just on in 2018.
What was that movie you made us watch, Daniel?
Rare Exports or Better Watch
Out? Rare Exports, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, but I didn't. Yeah. So I think that's either that one or Fat Man. Because he would have had it on his reel.
Mm-hmm.
Get Rare Exports. I think it's the only one of us who liked it. I'm going to stop recording, by the way.
Pick up your six when you're ready to go.
Yes, so my number six is something we haven't done on the show. We're going to Shudder with this one, Host. It's the Zoom seance, the horror phenomenon.
I got something funny for you, go on. I heard people talking about this. I thought it was the old Host movie, so I didn't watch it.
Oh, the South Korean one? We're mostly
yes, that's the kept talking about the Host. That's what I thought.
Oh, you just thought that made a comeback?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess people haven't seen it. I don't know.
No, it's very relevant to right now. It's filmed during the pandemic. It's like 57 minutes. It doesn't really let go once it starts. It's consistently scary, and the chemistry.
By the nuts.
Like right by the nuts. Yeah, everybody. Okay. Everybody has great chemistry, so that makes it even better because they're all friends in real life. It's
kind of like us, so we could have our own Host too.
Yeah, way. We need a medium, though. Does anybody have anyone they can call?
Owen?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, we absolutely can.
Yeah.
Tina. Tina could be a medium. She must know somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she could do that, or she works for
She works for people who know people. Yeah.
See? We have to go, buddy. Uh-oh. Let's go.
Uh-oh. For my trivia, I'll pick horror. We'll go back to horror for this one.
Horror? Just making sure I got a card. Which movie was directed by Oren Peli, P-E-L-I, and filmed in a digital camera in his home in 10 days?
Oren Peli.
I cannot. If you don't get this, I'm going to make fun of you.
I know the director's name. Oren Peli.
Doug's hand is enough. I can give you, do you guys want me to give you a year how long ago this could have been?
Yeah.
Over 10 years ago, because I know where I was working when this came out.
That's not Blair Witch, is it?
It is not. You're out. Anybody? Resident filmmaker?
Rec? I don't know.
I love Rec, but no. Paranormal Activity.
Okay, I forgot the director name. I was thinking Oz Perkins, but no.
I knew you had an idea. I'm shocked you didn't get that one. I thought Doug might have.
Honestly, I only saw that for the first time in October.
I'm not a found footage fan, so.
But you've seen Wreck, right?
I have seen Wreck, yes. That's okay, a good
one. That's all that matters. As long as you've seen Wreck, I'll let everything else go.
I guess it's my turn for number six. I'll keep the horror going. My number six is Possessor, written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg. This movie just messes with your mind.
Yes, it does.
It is incredibly violent.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was amazing. It has not so much the body horror that David Cronenberg has, but it has the mind horror. It definitely messes with your head.
I got it.
And I loved it.
I got to say, the first hour of this film, I didn't quite know where it was going. And I texted Ed and go, I think this is kind of boring. And then that second half, it all started clicking into me. I'm like, oh my God, this film is so rich in depth. I didn't get it the first hour. I was kind of like, where is this going?
You didn't say this is kind of boring. I said, oh, it's Brandon Cronenberg. He's an acquired taste. And you said, is that who directed this shit?
But I love the second hour. The second hour, like, it was a complete turnaround for me because I totally got into it.
Because that
one scene when they go visit people, Doug.
Yes.
At a dinner party, and then the later scene after the dinner party involves a household. Wow. Yeah.
See, when he got to the house at the end.
Yes.
And that just. When they were screaming, I don't know which one was in control of the mind.
Yes.
This is what you want.
Yeah,
that's what sealed it for me.
I'm absolutely on board. Yeah, the first hour I hate it, and then the second hour is a complete turnaround for me because I started understanding what was going on.
Yeah,
and Angela Riseborough is just amazing woman. She does everything she does. I met her at TIFF, and she was kind of weird, but she signed for me finally, and I was kind of happy, because I think she's one of those actresses we're going to love forever. We will get an Oscar at some point.
I haven't seen it yet.
Hopefully not for WE ever. Category, please?
I will go action. Why not?
This one's the easy one. Tim answer all Quentin Tarantino films. Name one of them. It says, but you're going to name all.
All right, Hateful Eight, Reservoir Dogs, and Pulp Fiction.
It's that one's not on here. I think this film thing. The other one's Four Rooms, but I believe you. I know he's in Hateful Eight, so that's fine. I just meant this is probably made a little bit too long ago. Okay, that's good. This is a film that came on my list late because I read some critic lists because sometimes. I just don't hear of films, and I don't get a billion screeners like the rest of these free critics do, so I have to read their lists in early December. So this was, I think, a Mexican film, but I could be wrong, called Baccaroo. Absolutely friggin' love this thing. I'm going to recommend this highly to you. I would have put it on my list, but Kevin complained so bad about subtitle films, I dropped it from my list to the upcoming podcast. But at some point, I think you guys really need to see Baccaroo. It is nuts. Okay. Gonzo and Owen, if you're directing something like this, I'm 100% on board to get naked. Just so you know.
It's the
so if you need some old man to get naked, Wang hanging out, I'm it.
Oh.
So I'm recommending Bakuru to all you guys need to see Bakuru.
That's the cartoon.
It is insane. It's not a cartoon. It's a live action.
No, no. I was going to say Drug Cartel.
Yes. Okay. It is an insane film. Absolutely love it. Okay. And I'm going to go back to general trivia because this amuses me to no end. 2018 saw the Oscar Award ceremony celebrate which anniversary?
I'll try. 90?
Yep. You are correct.
Yeah.
Oh, Doug's closing in on Kevin. Kevin, better come back soon. Intern, you're up.
Okay, number five, and I have to apologize to you, Simon, for this one because I found it. Soul.
Are you apologizing?
Because I kept saying to Simon, I don't have it, I don't have it. I kept on writing down names of the disc, on the discs down, and I said, I don't have Wonder Woman, and I don't have Soul. Wonder Woman I still don't have. But I found Soul. It was like I wrote it down, and I'm going, hey, I got to see this. So I watched it last night. I enjoyed this so much, but halfway through, Simon, the sound just cut out.
Weird, mine was fine.
But the whole story was really good. The animation was good. I loved it. I forget where I was going with it. Because I lost the sound, I just had to watch it intently to see what was going on. And the voice acting was really good. It was on point. I can't think of anything else to say about it, but I really loved it.
How much of this did you watch without sound? Because that sounds like an interesting experiment.
It's when he gets to the subway station and there's this guy playing the guitar and he drops something in the.
He's on halfway through.
And then the sound cuts out. And I'm going.
It's probably
so I just watched it
after left. Okay, it might have been your favorite of the year if you could hear it all the way.
Yeah, exactly.
It might have been. I'm gonna buy it and see if I can because there'll probably be extras in it. So I want to see that.
Number five with only 45 minutes of sound. That's pretty funny.
I thought you had access to Disney Plus.
He doesn't have. I had to load him a copy. Okay. Somebody gave me to be nice. What category would you like, sir?
Comedy.
Comedy it is. Russell Crowe starred along which popular actor in The Nice Guys? Kevin, you can keep your hand. I know you're next.
I know the name.
I know this one.
I know. Shoot.
Kevin, you want to give somebody else who want this?
No, I'll take it. It's Ryan Gosling.
That is correct.
That's
the one. And Kevin already gave me a look. I'm like, I don't
also, know
who's the answers.
If I answer wrong and I get it wrong, do I lose points or no?
No.
Okay, because I was going to be like, I'd be in the negative because I'm just saying an answer whenever someone doesn't know it.
No, I don't take – well, Owen's already has zero, so that's
– Yeah.
I'd be at negative 5 or 10 by now.
I'm not last.
I am last.
I don't play the games because I hate games, but I like writing them.
All right. So my number five is actually the exact same thing. It's Soul. And I was not expecting to like it at all for some reason. I don't know why. When I went into it, I was kind of like, I mean, I just wasn't interested from the trailers that didn't catch my eye. But watching it, I actually really enjoyed it. I think it had a good message. It had a good story. Great actors. The animation was great. Everything was just good.
Did you find when you were hearing one of the voices, like I heard June Squibb in there, I'm going, that's June Squibb.
Yes, it was June Squibb.
Yeah.
Wait, as who?
One of the Terries, I think.
One of the thingies.
Oh. I didn't notice that.
Did you have sound all the way through, Owen?
I did. Well, because we had sound. Disney Plus, so we didn't.
Okay. That's a quality company, so they'll have sound all the way through.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, it helps.
Kevin? Oh, sorry. Category Owen?
I'm taking back my apology to Simon because I lost the sound, so there you go.
Fair enough. All right. I'm just going to say, surprise me in hopes that you're kind. But
Comedy.
All right. What is
this? This one, hey, you should have seen this film. In which movie can Adam Sandler be found playing ice hockey and golf?
Oh, Billy Madison.
The other one.
Come on, Owen. this one.
You were going there. You almost had it.
You started saying it.
Yes.
Good one.
Yes.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Well, that's why I thought you
were trying to throw me off.
Like, this is the one I know. Let me have it.
Wait, I thought you were trying to throw him off.
Yes, that's what I thought too.
No, I just don't like Adam Sandler movies, so I don't know.
This man says Billy Madison. That's funny. I mean, that's the other one, to be fair, of Happy Madison.
Well, you play golf in that, right? The Price is Wrong, bitch.
No, that's Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
He chases an imaginary penguin in
Billy Madison.
Oh, yeah. I had the wrong movie then.
Where are you going, penguin?
All right, so I'm going to surprise you. And so I'm going to preface it by... I'm going to preface it by saying that not all movies are great movies, but sometimes you can fail in your success.
Oh,
in a sense. So my number five choice is Tenet, which I hated, but I can completely respect the filmmaking involved. It's a beautiful film. It's well acted. There are many things I enjoy about it. What is that? Is that your mask?
Putting us all on the screen because Simon's taking his victory lap.
So, I mean, I hated the whole time travel thing because I don't think it's executed that well.
I disagree.
And it's not something I would want to ever watch again because...
But you bought it.
No, I didn't buy it. I have a headache even thinking about it right now. So.
Position, the movie.
But I do enjoy it. It's number five on my list. So there you go. And I'll pick action.
Action it is. What is Captain Jack Sparrow's catchphrase in Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Oh, man. It's all, I don't know, it's all going perfectly well or something like that.
No. Anybody else?
He has a catchphrase?
He does, which I didn't know.
I'm just Savvy? Saying. Oh, I just thought he was the drunk mumbles.
Yeah, I can't say crap because I think all of those films are bad. So
I love the first one.
Then the first one I think is okay.
Bit long.
Daniel? Hold on, intern's back. Let's ask him the question. What is Captain Jack Sparrow's key catchphrase in the Pirates of the Caribbean films?
You lose all your points if you get it wrong, Bob.
Go ahead. You're up, Daniel. He has no idea.
My number five is Hamilton. I've never heard any of the Hamilton songs before, and I loved Lin-Manuel Miranda's music in Moana, and then he just made me a bigger fan here. I love the way it's staged. It's very creative. Love the music, the performances, and makes history fun. It's a romp of a time.
I'm glad you gave this some love. This was on my list, off my list, on my list, off my list. I 100% agree with everything you said. I just didn't think it was a movie.
That's fair. Now, when I asked you if Beastie Boys was on yours, did it take the place of Hamilton, basically?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
That's exactly what it did. I had Hamilton on, and I'm like, I got to put Beastie Boys. So I totally agree with everything you said. I love Hamilton. I will watch Hamilton again.
Okay.
I watched on 75 inches and cranked it up and freaking loved this thing.
I'll watch it again, but it's 2 hours 40. It's kind of...
Watch select highlights. Just watch first half, like I said, then stop.
It feels shorter than The Prom. I'll say that.
I like it. That's true. But I like The Prom. Your category, sir.
Surprise me because I'm getting everything. No, you know what? Let's do horror. Right. Let's do horror.
Surprise you. I was going to give you comedy. Really? This is an actual question. You're not getting this one. You want the question you're supposed to get? What is the name of the hotel in the movie Psycho?
Oh, Bates Motel.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
Stupid question.
That's a gimme. I feel like there's been so many gimmies. I've gotten like I should have known it'd be Indiana Jones.
But. Douglas?
All right. My number five has actually been a number five before. Ongoing Soul. It was like Owen, I went in not expecting to like it as much as I did, but it won me over. Once the little pre-baby souls started chanting hell, I was all in. And I loved it. The animation was gorgeous. Just the times when it went black and white, it was gorgeous. I loved everything about it.
H-E double hockey stick.
Category, sir?
Let's go. I'll go horror.
Okay. What wine did Hannibal Lecter prefer with liver and flava beans?
A nice Chianti.
That's correct.
Nice. Can I ask you to say it differently than that?
Doug, and Kevin is ahead of Doug by one. Okay, my number five is a film that blew me away early in the year, and it's The Invisible Man. I friggin' love this film. I just think this is how you make a horror movie. And I've loved most of the Invisible Man films, but this one just brought it up. It was with Moss continually impresses me. That scene when her sister gets her neck cut just gets to me. That hallway shot scene was beautifully done. Even though they shot this on a very limited budget, they used it well. I just really like the tension level. I love, as you guys know, setting is the big thing, and atmosphere is a big thing for me. I think this film has it all. Invisible Man.
Last movie I saw in the movie theater.
Yeah, maybe I saw it was Onward. I miss the movies, man.
Oh,
boy. General trivia. As of 2018, how many Oscar nominations has Meryl Streep had in total?
Seven?
Okay, Daniel's out. Wrong. Next.
19.
Wrong.
Is it 13?
Wrong. Kevin?
15.
Wrong. Owen? 16. What's the legal drinking age in the USA?
Hey, well, how many nominations 21. Did you get?
Correct. Oh, Owen got it.
Hey.
He's on the board.
I already have 2 points on the board. Now. 1 point.
Oh, sorry.
He's creeping up on us.
Oh, right. Happy Gilmore. I forgot.
See, I helped them out. I get all you guys get first shot.
I would have loved if he would have said 19.
Well, 18 in Quebec.
Yeah, that's fair.
In turn?
Number four. And it's been mentioned before. And I saw this movie twice. Once in 3D. Once in 3D and once in regular. Tenet.
Clash of the Titan?
Tenet.
Oh.
Oh, for loved it.
Huh?
Prairie Vengeance?
Tenet.
Hotel for Dogs.
I think he said Tenet.
Paddington 2?
Hey!
Not Paddington 2. So, Tenet. Sorry.
Okay.
Is my sound not working here?
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking with you.
I think it went out or something, like soul. It just kind of stopped.
Bob, are you here? Bob.
Yeah, I'm here. Tenet.
What did you like about Tenet?
I loved everything about Tenet. I loved the direction. I loved the fact that it was going back, forth. And the guy, Denzel Washington's son, I forget his name. David? Whatever?
John David Washington.
Thank you, John David. He was watching himself do, and I'm going, this is really good. I had to go back to see it. Like everybody was saying, you should see it in 3D. So I did.
Category, please.
Since I'm doing so well with it, classic.
Oh, nobody's picked classic in a while. What does the salesman sell in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles?
Oh, bath shower curtain rod thing.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes, so, you got it.
Only thing I like about 10 is that it's a palindrome.
Yes.
Oh, and you're up.
All right. My number four has been mentioned. It's Hamilton.
Nice pick.
I love musical theater. I'm currently in high school. I am an active member of the drama club at my school, and I had never seen Hamilton on Broadway, but I had all my friends did, and they were like, it's one of the things that they held over me, like, oh, we saw it and you didn't.
Hold on. Did your dad not let you go?
We couldn't get tickets. We tried.
Okay.
It was just
about okay, that's year what, before the pandemic you gotta help started. Us out a bit more here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and then watching it finally, it was, I mean, it's not as good as it was a little overhyped for me because of everyone, you know, saying, oh, we thought you didn't, it's so good. So that kind of took away from it a little bit, but mainly in the second half of the thing. But the first half was phenomenal. Daveed Diggs, phenomenal. Leslie Odom Jr., phenomenal. I thought it was just great. It just isn't as high on my list because it was a little ruined for me by everyone else.
Your category?
Let's go classic.
Oh, here we go.
Risky.
What was the last ever line on screen was, how do you find your way back in the dark?
So I should not have gone classic. Because I have no idea.
You should know this.
What was the question?
Whose last ever line on screen was, how do you find your way back in the dark?
Oh.
Okay. So we're going to help Owen out, to be nice, even though I'm not going to give you the point. Who was a big sex symbol in the 1950s?
I don't know that either.
Anybody?
Elvis?
Marilyn Monroe?
That's correct, but nobody's getting that point.
Okay. Oh, I want to watch Hamilton again just for Jonathan Groff. I just want
to. I agree 100%. Kevin, you're up.
All right, my number four choice is Aaron Sorkin's Trial of the Chicago Seven. And nice. I'm looking forward to the eventual sequel, The Trial of the Capitol Hill 8, which we should see later this year.
I'm sure it's coming.
Eddie Redmayne, Alex Sharp, Sacha Baron Cohen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Mark Rylance, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, and a whole bunch of other people, Frank Langella.
Mark Rylance.
Fantastic dialogue, great care. Michael Keaton.
I love Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton in the best courtroom appearance since Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. I love this movie. I thought this was fantastic. I mean, to be honest, I watched 30 to 40% of this movie without realizing that was Eddie Redmayne playing Tron Keaton. Because I'm like, wait a second, Eddie Redmayne doesn't sound like that. He usually whispers his lines and overacts, and I thought he was really good in this. I enjoyed this immensely. I thought it was well written, very relevant. Before last week, even more so now. Definitely happy about that. So,
I miss Redmayne's whisper shouting in Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, I recently watched that again just to
refresh my memory. Is it as bad as I remember?
Yes.
Okay.
Next, it is worse than you could possibly imagine.
It is pretty bad.
Yeah, it is.
Sci-fi,
Kevin's favorite category. How many years after the first Blade Runner does Villeneuve's sequel Blade Runner take place? 2049 take place? Weird question.
It's 30 years.
That is correct. Kevin's still in the lead.
I was going to say 36. Blade Runner took place in
2019.
Oh, I thought it was like the release date.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Douglas.
No, it's Daniel.
No, I'm sorry.
You're trying to take away my pick, Simon. You're such a dick. Sorry. my number four pick, I try not to have like too much recency bias on my lists, but I watched this one yesterday, Promising Young Woman. Great.
See, the one I could 10 minutes in, and I'm like, I'm not ready for this tonight.
Yeah, great performance by Carey Mulligan. It's funny. I like Bo Burnham a lot in it too. It's a bit of romantic comedy, lots of revenge, and I thought it was a fascinating character study, and the ending is just amazing. I won't spoil that at all, but it's just
I'll get to it crazy. This week, I promise.
Okay.
Category, please.
This time surprise me.
Oh, general trivia.
Okay.
Which hard-hitting 2003 cult movie tracked down the lives of two American adolescent girls?
Oh, okay. Gosh darn it, Daniel. 13?
That is correct.
Okay, I was either between 13 or Virgin Suicides, but I think that's 99.
It is.
Douglas?
All right, my number four is the previously mentioned Palm Springs. I'm not a big fan of romantic comedies, but this one was funny as hell, and I love that they used science to figure their way out of it. It wasn't some magic thing to get them out of the loop. They used science, and it was amazing.
Fair enough. Category, please.
Let's go horror.
Horror it is. In 1998, Japanese horror movie concerns a cursed videotape being passed among school children.
Ringu.
That is correct.
Nice.
Even though that's not the answer they have, but I'll give it to you.
What's the answer they have? The Japanese translation?
It's wrong.
Oh.
The ring, but I know it's ring.
Well, we know more than your little game there, Simon.
Yeah, I agree. My number four is a film that Douglas hates, that he did not enjoy, but we know how much I love setting, style, and directors make. I friggin' love this film. I love good writing. I love cinematography. And I love set design, which Kevin knows. He makes fun of me all the time, but set design is probably one of my favorite things.
I do that all the time. I'm always making fun of you for set design.
Simon and set design again.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, it's true. I love set design. You'll see that in a lot of my films, that set design and cinematography usually are my two favorite things. I love Citizen Kane. I love that RKO something Kevin made me watch once.
281. It's the code name for Citizen Kane.
And there's a new documentary Kevin has not made me watch on Citizen Kane for some strange reason, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point this year.
Sure, I'll make you watch it.
I just love David Fincher. This man can make films. As long as he makes them, I'll be there.
Interesting trivia for me. Mank 2020 has my least favorite Fincher and my least favorite film. No one cares about it.
No, nobody does.
I don't.
Classic film. For which two classic movies has Tom for best?
What was the question?
That was one.
Okay, Doug?
Philadelphia and Forrest Gump.
Correct.
That was the one.
Okay. I cut out.
Kevin and Doug are tied.
Oh, no.
That's good.
You're up, intern.
And me. Which one? Three, right? My top three were like hard. They could have been interchangeable. Mank was number three for the exact same reasons. What?
He's surprised.
Why are you surprised?
We usually don't like the same films.
Yeah, but you had it at number four, right?
I do.
I had it at number three. Now, I'm thinking he's going to get Gary Oldman has to, it's Oscar worthy nomination for that one because he really nailed it. I saw the like at the end I saw the real one and he really portrayed him really well and Amanda Seyfried did not a usual role for her but this like she did
her best
she did
it really acting quick. Work ever.
Yeah, and I thought it was really well done the time period and the costuming and set design. We'll say.
There we go.
Wait, the little photo wasn't Gary Oldman? That was the real one at the end.
Yeah, they had a little interview with him holding the Oscar. That was him.
Yes,
I thought that was Oldman. Okay,
nope.
That makes
me like it more
actually. Okay,
that's Meg's. Category, please.
Comedy.
Comedy. Here we go. In which All-Star 2018 movie did eight main actors have a total of four Oscars, two Emmys, nine Grammys, six Golden Globes, five BAFTAs, and 10 SAGs?
Okay, I give up right away.
Anybody? Owen?
Too many numbers. I don't know.
What year was it?
Oh.
2018. I just gave you the answer.
What was the answer?
Oh, Ocean's 8.
Oh,
Ocean's 8.
I was going to say Sing, but that's 2016. Really? Yeah, Jennifer.
Okay.
So my number three is only as high as it is because of the way I watched it. And that is Borat 2.
How did you watch it then is what we need to know.
I didn't watch it especially, but I watched one, then right into two. So it was like
the title?
Borat 2, subsequent blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Borat 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Subsequent movie film.
I like it as much as I did because I watched it right after the first one, so I kind of had that same sort of... It kind of had the same... But I don't know what I'm trying to say.
The flow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had a better flow from one into the other, and so it made it feel more...
A good set design, though.
That hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that hotel room. I mean, it...
Yeah, with Rudy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about a fall from grace, Owen. Rudy Giuliani, like right in the dumpster fire.
America's mayor to America's not mayor. I don't know. Disgrace. So, yeah. That's my number three.
Do you have a category?
Comedy.
You should. Okay.
No.
Name one of the songs Tom Hanks and Robert Loggia danced to in the piano in the big movie, in the movie Big. Which you've seen.
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Anybody?
I can't think of the name, though. Do I get half points for doing the tune?
That's great. Okay, Heart and Soul or Chopsticks?
Chopsticks.
Chopsticks, yeah.
Kevin?
Oh, it's my choice?
Mm-hmm. Number three.
My number three hasn't come up tonight yet, or today. Da 5 Bloods, directed by Spike Lee. Which, you know, the film, I'm not saying the film doesn't have problems, but it's ambitious as hell. Has some great performances, including the late Chadwick Boseman. I like the fact it's, at its core, it's a heist film. Mm-hmm. It's about coming back to get something that you stole and hidden, and everything just goes wrong. Very much like Reservoir Dogs and other heist films of that kind. You know, and the film was going in a certain direction, and then when the one guy tripped, it goes in a completely left turn direction. And I thought Delroy Lindo was fantastic. You know, so that's it's high on my list.
Fair. Mm.
And I'll go with sci-fi again, just to keep the trend.
You love sci-fi. Here we go.
I just wanted to hear you say I loved it again.
What was the name of the virtual reality movie in the 2018 movie Ready Player One?
What was the name of the platform?
Where they hang out in the reality world.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anybody? You've seen this film.
Who remembers that movie?
I do, because I liked it.
I liked it.
I have the movie.
The Realm?
No. The Oasis.
Ah.
Stop, Dad. Proud of you.
Yeah. Have it on DVD.
So you own it on DVD, but you couldn't figure it out. Fair enough.
I haven't watched it for a while.
Yeah. My number three is Soul. For all the reasons previously mentioned. You feel every character beat.
Could you hear it?
Yeah, I heard every single bit of it. Even through the credits. I love the music. Yeah, you feel every character beat. Kind of fun that it goes into a bit of a body swap film in the second act.
Yeah.
It just made my heart feel good after watching it. And I like movies that touch me like emotionally. Simon likes set design. I like
emotion. Did you toe tap during Soul?
I think I had my feet up on a thing. So I mean, I probably swayed them from side to side, but I don't know if I toe tapped.
Did you have something cool written on your socks? Like I like beer.
No, I just have plain socks.
Fair enough. Category?
Horror.
Of course. Right.
I was going to say sci-fi, but then I was like, no.
Which character is the most performed horror villain in the motion picture history?
Hannibal Lecter? Oh, I'm dumb. I could have picked every franchise ever.
Go ahead, Bob, Owen, Kevin.
Voorhees.
Doug?
Dracula?
Correct.
Ah.
Doug is now in the lead.
You're welcome, Doug.
Doug, you're up.
All right, my number three is Spike Lee's other film this year. He recorded David Byrne's American Utopia off of Broadway. It was on HBO Max. Still is on HBO Max, and it's amazing. It's a fantastic companion piece to Stop Making Sense. This one I place higher than Hamilton because of Spike Lee. What he did with the cameras, each song told a story on its own. The camera angles showed that, and the music was amazing.
I was so close to watching this, like this close to watching this film. No, I don't like you today, Doug.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't like him any day, so.
Yeah, but you live
it. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, because you ate all his cookies. I understand why he doesn't like you either. You want to drink peasant beer in that movie. Ain't her Christmas special. It's available on YouTube.
I will go action.
Action it is. What type of car does Tom Cruise drive in Risky Business?
A Mustang. I don't
Anybody
know.
Else, Kevin?
A Camaro?
Porsche 928. Okay, moving on to number three. My film's been mentioned numerous times, and it did not have good set design, but I did feel emotionally attached. It's Soul. Absolutely sat down Christmas Day. None of my family seemed that interested in watching this. It must have been almost midnight on Christmas night day when I was watching this, finishing it off. I friggin' love this film. I love the animation. I love the richness of the world. I love the dialogue. I love jazz. So anything with jazz just pulls me in.
What about
and beautiful set design too. I love the trick at the end of this film to return him to our world made me laugh so hard. I love everything about this. I like the supporting characters that flips the sign over. I like when he goes into a cat. I like the barbershop. I thought this world felt real, and that's why it's my number three. And
actually, I forgot when you see him as the cat and he's in the barbershop watching her get his haircut, he's paying attention to the conversation between his body and whatever, and the barber, and he's listening intently. He says, "Why did I never talk to him about this?"
Mm-hmm.
It really caught my attention, even though I could probably not hear.
I was just gonna say, I love that Terry's voiced by a woman called Rachel House. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
General trivia, which Downton Abbey star was behind Fur and Horns in Disney's live action Beauty and the Beast?
Oh.
Anybody?
Oh, it's General. Dan Stevens.
Correct.
I didn't realize. I forgot it was General.
General's got six. Okay, you're up, intern.
At number two. Speaking of great performances and his last... Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Chadwick Boseman, and I'll be surprised if he and Viola Davis don't get nominated. I really enjoyed this. This, like, it showed it. She disappeared in the role, like, and because I saw her being interviewed on the special afterwards. I watched a little documentary. I watched her being transformed into Ma Rainey, and I'm going, wow. And the music of the time, that was good. Like, I really liked that, the music of that time. Anyway. But I really liked the direction, the costumes, the costumes of the time. And yes, that design was good. And I just really loved it from the start.
Category, please.
Sci-fi.
Science fiction. Blade Runner was adapted from which Philip K. Dick novel?
Nope.
Kevin?
Do androids dream of electronic
sheep? I don't even have to ask. Did you know that one? I knew you did. Owen, you're up.
All right, my number two has been mentioned many times in other people's lists, and that is Palm Springs.
Wow. Nice. No complaints from me. I love this film.
Yeah. It reminded me so much of Groundhog Day with the premise. And then, like my dad said, they solved it with science. That was cool. I think the performances were fun. And I think that's the main thing about the movie. It was fun. And it had a happy ending, which is, especially in the year that was 2020, it was just fun. It was an experience that reminded me of another movie that I loved. And that, I think, is why it's so high on my list.
Fair enough. Do you have a category?
Just surprise me.
Since you do a comedy, here we go. Who provides the voice of Peter Rabbit in the 2018 film?
I don't actually know.
Daniel?
James Corden.
Correct.
No.
Daniel has seven. Daniel's getting close.
I thought I would have like three. I think I've stolen a bunch.
Kevin, you're up.
All right, my number two choice is Mank, directed by David Fincher, because I love the set design. It was all about this. I thought, as a student, I love Orson Welles' movies, and I love James Tolan's cinematography in Citizen Kane. I love the set design in that. Anyway, I thought Fincher does a very good job of recreating the look and the feel of Citizen Kane and giving us the story of Herman Mankiewicz and how he had the courage to take on William Randolph Hearst. And because no one can figure out why. Why did Orson Welles want to go after William Randolph Hearst? That was one of the big questions of that, that day.
He's a dick.
He was a dick, but he really had... Welles didn't have enough connection with Hearst to make it...
Yeah, but Banks did.
To go after him. And, yeah, exactly. So interesting that they fell out over this, but this was the movie that Mank put his name on as opposed to everything else he'd worked on. Anyway, great performance by Gary Oldman and Amanda Seyfried. You wouldn't recognize her in the film. Charles Dance as Hearst. Anyway, very good. Highly recommended.
Should I get the science fiction category for you already?
No, I want classics.
Classics.
Just to screw you.
In the Disney movie Dumbo, the title character hallucinates pink elephants after getting drunk on what?
I want to say he gets drunk on wine. But no.
Good enough. I'll give it to you. Champagne. Yeah. But that's close okay. enough.
I was going to say the Green Fairy. Whatever drink that's called.
Doug, you're up.
That's absinthe.
Absinthe. Thank you. No, it's
my
Daniel.
Favorite.
He keeps skipping me, sir.
I know. I don't like you.
That's fair.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be such a dick, Simon. Like Hearst, you are a dick.
All about the set design.
my number two is actually Palm Springs.
Paddington Bear 2. Sorry.
Paddington
2? Yes. Actually, no, sorry, Palm Springs is Paddington 2.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. It was such a surprise. I love Groundhog Day kind of premises, and I just love how every day feels new. I mean, obviously, but J.K. Simmons as a psychopathic hunter, and it's just hilarious. And them learning, it makes you want like life more, kind of like Soul. And I wasn't expecting so much Hard, and Sandberg and Melody are a great pair. Just I love this movie.
Your pick for category?
Since I'm doing so well at horror, we'll just go general question.
General trivia, you mean?
Sure.
The 2018 Oscars were moved to avoid clashing with which sporting event?
The Super Bowl?
Nope. Anybody else?
Was it the World Series? No.
Sorry, I missed the question. What's the question?
The 2018 Oscars were moved to avoid clashing with which sporting event?
NHL.
You need to be quiet.
World Juniors?
Anybody else? The Winter Olympics.
NBA.
Well, frick. That feels so long ago.
It was 2 years ago.
I know. So long ago. I mean, 2020 was 5 years long. Let's be fair.
It was. It really
it's
was.
It's still going on.
It's still going. Doug, you're up.
All right. My number two, and this is only number two because it's based on a play and had limited... sets, you could say. Really only two big locations. It's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Doesn't sound like good set design, but it did look good, though.
Yes. The performances were amazing. The music was great. Even the direction, which is hard to do on something that's based on a play. The whole scene with Chadwick Boseman breaking down the door. That was, from what I heard, that was added to the movie that wasn't in the play. It was fantastic.
I did not know that. Your category, sir.
I could. Sorry, before you give the credit, you could tell he was not feeling well right there in that movie because I could see.
For sure.
I could see it in his face, and his throat was looking bad.
He does not look well in this film.
No.
I agree.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
I'll take classic.
Just for Owen, right? Because this is his favorite topic.
Obviously.
In the Hagner Christmas special, what kind of beer does Doug drink?
Well, it's Stella.
Yeah. Wrong answer. Peasant beer was the correct answer. In Greece, what two colors does Danny Zuko wear at the school dance?
Black and white. I don't know.
No, Doug, come on, Bob. It's Grease. You've seen it 35 times.
I've seen it more than that. Ah, Grease. Dance.
He's wearing attention to wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm paying attention to more to set design in that case.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no set design in that film. It's all about the dance. Okay, going wides.
Dude, black and...
Black and something.
And black and gold?
No, Bob?
Red.
You're done. Pink.
I was going to say pink.
Why didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
That was dumb, so it's up to me.
You're busy thinking about Paddington 2.
My number two is a film that came to me late that me and Doug have been discussing for months that we needed to see. It's already appeared on Doug's list, so Doug knows exactly. It's Chloe Zhao, I think her name is.
Yes.
Nomad's Land. Frances McDormand, oh my God, steals this movie from the beginning. I think this movie exists right now. I think there are people living like this. I think that's where I read this came from, a novel of shorts. But this movie just is so powerful to me. It's so many times. The way she meets people, the way she hangs out with people, the way David Strathairn comes in this movie and acts up to the ability of Frances McDormand. The ability that she has to meet everybody, brings character to each person, and makes everybody in this film feel real. So No Man's Land is my second favorite movie of the year.
This was a TIFF, and I couldn't get tickets for it, so.
Me neither.
Comedy for Owen. Here we go. In the movie Ride Along, what is Kevin Hart's original job?
Not for Owen.
Anybody?
He's a nurse.
He's a security officer in a school.
He's a night teacher, but no, that's night school.
And your number one intern?
My number one. It's been mentioned before. Trials Chicago 7. I know. Okay. And night. What? Okay. I lost Sacha Baron Cohen in the character. I was going, who is that guy? It kept bugging me. And I'm going, and then I realized after it was Sacha Baron Cohen. What the heck are you doing with that? I thought it was well directed. The set design was great. All the action was great. The actors did a great job. It was well directed. I loved it. And I had like, and this is, I was watching this and I'm going, yep, this is going to be my number one. And it stayed number one for a long time, moved interchangeably with a couple of movies, and then back to number one.
That's good. Your category, sir?
Musical. No.
I wish there was a musical one for you, but there is not.
That's a shame.
I'm sorry about that. I don't have
comedy.
Enough. Comedy it is. Hang on. Got it. Sorry. In the Hangover Part 3, what animal does Alan buy? And I will tell you, it's right at the beginning of the film.
Never seen the film, so I don't know, so I give up.
What's the question?
You'll find it in a zoo. In Hangover 3, what animal does Alan buy? If you haven't seen the film, you have no idea.
Nope.
It's not in the preview? It's a giraffe. Oh. He buys a giraffe. Yeah.
Wasn't interested in seeing the movie.
And the head hits the billboard as they're on the
ice. Yes, that's right.
Part 3 is so bad. That's why we didn't know.
At the time, I wasn't forced to watch the movie and review it, so I didn't care.
You guys didn't do Hangover Part 3?
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, no, it's in your pile.
Probably.
We'll be quiet.
Piles.
Owen?
Okay, my number one has been mentioned, and it's Simon's favorite. So it's The Five Bloods. I picked it just for you, Simon. And it's my favorite of the year because, for many of the same reasons that were mentioned earlier, it was at its core a heist movie. It switched directions about halfway through. The performances were great, and I enjoyed the story. So that's all I'm going to say so I don't go on longer so Simon doesn't, like, kill me.
I know where you live now. I've seen the house in the movie special on YouTube, the Hater Christmas special. I know exactly where you live.
That category would be? That's his mantra right now. Whenever he's angry, he just says, oh, go watch the Christmas special.
Well, it's more promotion.
What's your category, sir?
I was going to say pick for me, but I don't know if that's a good idea after I just said.
No, don't let him do it.
Don't do it.
So, comedy.
Before I have a question before we go. So, Your question is, before I read this for the general staff, because you'll get it wrong anyway. Okay. In the Hayden Christmas special, what was the one thing missing that should have been there?
I don't know, a better beer?
That's one. The answer is Doug's beard.
It was there for most of it.
That's true.
In which comedy movie did James Franco run into a tree during filming, causing him to get 3 stitches? Jesus.
I actually knew that, but I knew that story, but I don't know the movie.
So, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Pineapple Express.
That is correct.
Nice. Damn.
Doug is now in the lead. Nope, him and Kevin are tied.
James, I was thinking of Dave Franco for some reason.
So, Kevin, you're number one.
My number one movie is Soul. Directed by Pete Docter and Kemp Powers. Very well written, very well executed. Jamie Foxx is fantastic. Tina Fey, I didn't even realize it was Tina Fey. Graham Norton as Moonwind, what a fantastic character there.
Yeah.
Just some wrestling with some interesting concepts of what happens to you after you die and your soul and your purpose. Music was fantastic. Probably the best thing Pixar has done in many years.
I agree.
I enjoyed Onward. I have nothing wrong with that. My only problem with Onward is, to me, it's too much like that Zootopia movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're going with high concept. How can you take our world and translate it into something else? But this one was just very relevant. Very well executed, so no problems.
Sorry, Kent Powers, is that the same guy that was a playwright for One Night in Miami?
Let me take a look here on IMDb. Kent Powers is the writer of One Night in Miami.
That's interesting. Okay, cool.
Which is great, but then again, kind of gets locked out because he's also a writer on Star Trek Discovery, which is a steaming piece of crap. Sorry.
Well, I think that's more of a community.
Yeah.
You have a category, Kevin?
Because I love it so much, I'll go with science fiction, I guess.
George Lucas took the term Jedi from Japanese Jedi Geeky or whatever, meaning what?
I don't know.
Anybody?
Hope.
Period drama. And it's Daniel.
Okay, mine. Wow, thank you very much. You're not a dick this time, my friend. staying true to my form, to my brand, it's been my favorite movie since March, The Invisible Man.
Good set design.
Very good set design. Just the way it opens with that her escaping and just Elizabeth Moss, the performance, the suspense in the film and the horror, and I love Lee Winnell's direction and that dinner scene, man, that took me for a ride. Ever since Game of Thrones, that was like the most shocking, like, dinner scene. I love the film. Want to watch it again.
Your category, sir?
Let's do horror.
All right. In which cult movie was the villain named Leatherface?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That is correct.
Thank you for the long ball.
Right, that's the question. I don't pick them.
I was like, is this a trick?
I could have read you the other one.
Do I have to pronounce this?
Oh, you would have got either of them or both. Even Owen would have got the next one.
Do I have to pronounce the
that's a low bar
in Chainsaw?
Oh, it is a low bar. I've seen the beer in your Christmas special. That was a low bar.
That was his idea. So it's
the beer we had.
Disappointing.
Sorry.
Disappointed.
Doug, you're up.
All right, my number one is Scoob.
Right on.
I'm actually kidding. It is not Scoob. It's Defy Bloods. I love the movie. It was the movie Spike Lee has been working towards. The different aspect ratios, the different film stocks used to differentiate between time periods, the acting. It's a remake of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. I loved it. Everything about it. It was my number one.
Can we make Simon show up behind you? Is there a way to do that? your Tim walk up screen and him just photoshopped right behind you.
Owen does have a green screen. We could
so green what?
Behind us.
It's true.
Category?
Action.
Nobody's asked action lately. I find it. In which movie series would you find... Really? Find... I'm not... No, you can't have that one.
Give it to Owen.
Just say Die Hard. It's Die Hard.
Okay. What? Someone else
I heard. Give that to Owen.
It's yeah. John McClane. I'm like, that's really a question. I'm not even going to answer it. I just gave you the point, Doug. Didn't even finish the question.
Doug Hard.
Okay. my number one was like so hard because Nomad's Land is like literally 1A. It's Sound of Metal. Fucking movie. Just from the opening scene and just dragged me in. Pulled me in, made me feel for every character involved had a purpose. Every scene had a reason. And the set design was very basic, so no, that was not it. I just really believed that Reis Ahmed was going through this, and everybody in the film was going through it with him. I was shocked how good a film about hearing loss could make me feel... I love the end of the film. I love every part of this film. This film can do no wrong. And if Reis Ahmed does not win an Oscar, I'd say he's been robbed.
There's a film that's similar premise. I can't remember the name right now, but I'll recommend it to you off of the podcast.
I think this is a good general question to end off the thing. How much did it cost to make the film Titanic? Owen?
$150 million?
You're right. He's wrong.
Okay.
Owen?
I'll go with $100 million.
Wrong. Doug?
$195 million.
You're close. Kevin?
$250 million.
You're out. Doug? I mean, Bob?
No guess.
$200 million.
Okay. Kevin and... Doug? Oh, Doug's got 13. Doug, five honorable mentions, please.
Five honorable mentions. I will go... I'm actually going to go TV shows. And I'll really only mention
fancy.
Two. I'm going to recommend the Apple Originals Ted Lasso and Mythic Quest. We just watched both shows as families this past month. They're both amazing. I highly recommend them.
Mythic Quest? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Kevin, you're four.
Daniel, are you doing the same thing as I am?
I'm
writing
four.
Down names?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
all right. So the two movies that took me by surprise that I liked and I wasn't expecting to were Sonic the Hedgehog because of Jim Carrey's performance.
Okay.
And right. Freaky because of Vince Vaughn's performance,
so
which
good.
We'll be reviewing soon.
Nice.
Coming up very soon.
This year was probably, we usually get a lot of superhero films. This year we did not get very many. And what we got were probably really awful. So I did rank them, but I can only mention four things. I will say probably the best superhero movie was Birds of Prey, which does not say much about 2020 superhero offerings. And the best thing that I watched this year, and I told Simon I was going to tell, and he was trying to prevent me from doing it, were the final four episodes of Clone Wars, which if one were to edit that together, would be a fantastic movie on its own, and probably would be my number one choice.
Am I okay to go? Because I was just my internet's bad. Two of mine, I saw at Fantasia. Anything for Jackson, which is
you have three.
Three, okay. Which is a great Canadian horror, reverse exorcism. It's awesome. It's hilarious.
Yes,
and it's scary, actually. And then Slacks, another Canadian horror, about a pair of killer jeans. It comes to Shudder in 2021. It's actually hilarious. It's actually great. It's a satire. And then I'm going to be different for my third one. This is my It's Fine award, the most mediocre movie of 2020 for me, probably Project Power.
Fair enough. Because we had to play trivia, because somebody's list is usually 25, intern, you have two.
Two. Okay. Number one is Fisherman's Friends. I just found this, and from the UK, and I'm going, this looks interesting. So I'm listening to it. It's like a boy band for the geriatric people. It was well done, cinematography was well done. You could see the fishing boats and everything. And the next one would be Hillbilly Elegy. I lost Amy Adams in there. I'm going, I know it's Amy Adams, but like different Amy Adams.
Isn't Fisherman Friends, is that like a gummy snack? That's like a of gummies to me.
No, Fisherman's Friend is like a hard candy that you take if you have a sore throat.
It's a cough candy of some kind. Okay. But they made it's a movie bitter. Out of it.
It's hurts.
Not out of it, but.
Okay.
And in last place, we have the man that has a Hainer Christmas special available on YouTube where you can watch
Not last place? Wow.
Okay. Crappie Peasant Beer. Owen, since you're last, you only get one pick.
It's fun. And if this was golf, I would be winning. So,
really? I'll meet you on that course.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm awful at golf. But point wise, all right. So, my only. Well, it's a good thing I actually only have one. That's David Byrne's American Utopia. Because it was amazing. I watched it with my dad. And it was great to watch. But I just didn't have the same emotional connection that he did with it because he's a bigger fan of the Talking Heads and David Byrne. So for me, it was good. It wasn't as fun as I would have liked it to be, but that's because I don't have as much of a attachment to it.
Okay.
I only have one honorable mention, even though I'm not supposed to have any. It's watch the Hainer Christmas special that's available on YouTube. And then anybody wants to email us, it's extrafeatures@gmail.com. Daniel has some film craziest blog thing you should check out. Yes, Kevin has some YouTube thing called Comic Book Lounge. And I don't know what the intern has. You have Twitter, don't you, intern? And TikTok?
No.
No, okay. No. He is on TikTok, people. You can find him. And that's it. And if they make it,
we'll rank it.
Bob returns.